In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Happy New Year. We start a new liturgical year in the church with Luke. This is the first we're entering into this gospel. And Happy New Year as we change our liturgical gospel. Luke wrote with a deep and a growing sense that Christian discipleship is a kind of living in between. We're aware of Jesus, we're waiting for Jesus, and we're coming to know Jesus for whom we wait in the midst of an eventful, unpredictable, even a tumultuous world, but we wait to stand before him, but yet not always knowing where he is and who he is. Advent is a season that messes up our sense of time. While we typically live in a fairly linear view of time where one event comes after another, the church's liturgical and lectionary calendar is cyclical, and patterns of events repeat themselves. For this reason, the church year that begins in Advent puts in front of us passages about the end of history before moving in the later weeks to prepare us for the coming of the Christ child and the dawn of a new age. So we start to begin with the end in mind. Luke's community is wrestling with the question of time, or more accurately, timing. In particular, the question at hand is when the promised return of Jesus and the consummation of history will occur. This has been a mystery to man through all of time. Whereas Mark seems to tie these events to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, Luke, who writes nearly two decades later, around AD 70, distances the promised end of history and the temple's destruction. Luke, in fact, is quite vague about when Jesus will return, refusing to offer any hint of a timetable. So the emphasis, therefore, shifts from when these things will happen to a proper disposition of the discipleship community itself. Both the distance that Luke puts between the events of his day and the end of time and the emotional terror of watchful confidence he calls for creates a space for the mission of the church. In early verses in this chapter, in fact, Luke seems to anticipate the later story of Acts that he will write, as the events Jesus describes foreshadow many of the major episodes in the life of the early church, as Luke depicts it. For this reason, whatever rumors Luke's community may have heard about the coming of the end, and no matter what rumors may yet come, the Christian community is to remain steadfast in its ministry, trusting that Jesus will provide the necessary words and inspiration so that the discipleship community may witness to the gospel through its words, its deeds, its prayers in any and every situation. Apocalyptic texts come across to most of our hearing as alien, strange, and even very off-putting. Truth be told, whatever present worries we may harbor about our global pandemic, our environmental holocaust, most of us express little day-to-day concern about the imminent end of the world, and even less about Jesus' second coming. In this respect, we may feel that we live at a great distance from Luke's audience in past history. But at the same time, we are as intimately acquainted as they were with the challenges presented by waiting for an event that seems late in coming. We may be waiting for an event on a national or global scale, like our recovery from the pandemic, or our post-war economic recovery after Afghanistan, or even our concerted international action to reduce climate change. Or we may be even waiting for an event to occur on a personal level, like the results from a biopsy, a letter from an estranged child, or access to care for a loved one with dementia or Alzheimer's, or even the frustrations and limitations of our aging bodies. Whatever the case, we know the challenge of waiting, the stress of waiting, and the anxiety it holds us to in that waiting. But in this context, Luke offers us a perspective that, while it will not remove the anxiety of our waiting, it can affect its character. We live, according to Luke, between the two great poles of God's intervention in the world, the coming of Christ in the flesh and his triumph over death. And in this regard, we should not forget that these verses serve as a hinge between Jesus' teaching and his passion. And the coming of Christ in glory at the end of time and his triumph over all the powers of heaven and earth. This in-between time, as we live right smack in the middle of it, is fraught with tension, but it nevertheless characterizes us with hope as both the beginning and the end of the story of the church and of our story, which has been secured by Christ. We are therefore free to struggle and wait and work and witness, indeed to live and die with hope because we know the end of the story. The reality is this: anything can happen at any moment, and in one way or another, everything is happening in every moment. There is no present moment to what one can cling on to, and change is not limited by predictability or human control. So this gives us an opportunity gently to challenge the kind of religion that turns faith into a sort of fee-for-service arrangement with the divine. Yet, even as we do participate in our happiness, and even as there are indefinable connections between how we live and what we live, these connections never can be exacting. There are other realities at work that sometimes overwhelm us. The realities of brokenness and evil, of serendipity and grace. And so the present moment itself is an event for us, worth loving, worth living, because it's a gift from God. And one can only accept it with thanksgiving and trust the promise that lies behind it, and pray for the strength to do what is necessary to fill it with faithfulness in our waiting for God. I see faith and hopefulness in our church as we prepare our hearts in Advent. I see the anticipation through readiness to reach out to others in love as we strengthen our mission of outreach, as modeled by the Ministry of Grace Connection and our own food pantry. I, as your deacon in charge, experience the hospitality and grace that you offer to me through trusting conversations as I learn the desires of your witness for Christ in our community. We generously give to others as needs present themselves, material, pastoral, a helping hand, a visit, a meal, a ride, and all are portions of God's love at work here in this place and out into a hurting world. I see the redemptive work of Christ at work through the repairing of relationships through reconciliation, trusting God to turn our hearts where we may be unable to do so. In this, we are assured of Christ's coming. Our community together celebrates and anticipates moving forward in love. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen.